The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Neil, you've been taking a look at the Ireland squad for the Six Nations, and it's not quite same old, same old. There's a few little changes around the fringe, but it's, you know, our depth chart, for example, is a when you go through it, it's a very predictable team that I think would have been the exact same team. Now, we haven't done the back threes just yet, but certainly by the end of the last Six Nations, it would have been the exact same team. Hugh O'Keehan is in the squad, but if we'd done it a year ago, he might be the only change. So we're going to talk a little bit around some of the other options and some of the other names that people might not know a whole heap about. We're going to start with Tom O'Toole.
Yeah, Tom O'Toole, delighted to see him back in. Actually, even just before we start on that, just to kind of go back on what you're saying, is that it's so many of the same faces. I think with change with at teams like this and at levels like this, it's we have this notion in our head that when we want change, we want to see a World Cup campaign end and 12 new players in the Six Nations squad the following year. And I suppose the reality is that over the four-year cycle, you get introduced to a handful of players every year in bits and pieces. And even going back to something Brian O'Driscoll mentioned when he was on with you earlier on, and it's probably something we haven't thought about too much because we've been so fixated on the Lions tour, is that one of the beauties of a Lions tour is that generally that is a summer when Ireland will tour maybe one of the traditionally weaker nations like a Japan or USA or Canada. And that is always an enormous opportunity and a huge door, open door opportunity for younger players to come in and just get a feel and get a taster for what Test rugby is like. And, you know, it's something potentially we could end up losing this summer if things don't go according to plan. So it is one of the added benefits of a Lions tour as well. And that's the opportunity in the World Cup cycle where you can really actually, you can bring along 8, 9, 10 players who aren't that used to Test rugby and just get them used to the system. But sorry, I completely digressed there. Jump back in on Tom O'Toole. He's someone who, if it wasn't for COVID, he probably would have an Irish cap at this stage because he was brought into the Six Nations squad last year. And I reckon he probably would have got some minutes in that game against Italy if it had gone ahead last March. And unfortunately for him, by the time the Champions Cup came around, I think he picked up an injury just before the Heineken Champions Cup quarterfinal defeat against Toulouse. And unfortunately for him, he ended up spending quite a lot of time on the sidelines leading up until the guts of Christmas coming back in around December. So he was unfortunate in that by the time international rugby came back around, he was sidelined at that stage. And I'm just pleased to see him back in because he's someone that there's a huge amount of potential around. And I think, you know, we have two absolutely outstanding options at tight end in the likes of Andrew Porter and in Tadhg Furlong as well. But outside of that, maybe the options are a little bit older. Got, you know, John Ryan had been a nailed down third choice tight end. He's just the wrong side of 30 at the moment. Finlay Beelam obviously is there as well, who's on the younger side of things as well. But I think Tom O'Toole is someone who just has shown so much potential. And is an athletic player as well, not built in the kind of standard, the classic, just a scrummaging type prop, but he seems to be comfortable doing everything. He's a solid enough scrummager. I've only seen bits and pieces of his scrummage work, but it looks solid enough. Good with the ball in hand, good carrier, puts in a huge tackle count, actually, is where he's very, very good. Excellent in defence and has a good engine, can get around the pitch brilliantly.
O'Toole is second choice for Ulster at the moment, so this is kind of a big promotion. It's a real sense that, like, look.
To be honest, I'd say he's probably 50-50. They kind of rotate their props a lot up in Ulster. That they seem to, well, what I've noticed anyway is that they will tend to either start Tom O'Toole and Derek O'Sullivan together, or they will start Marty Moore and Jack McGrath together. That's when all four of those guys are fit. There seems to be a little kind of a partnership thing that they have going on with them, which works quite nicely. But, you know, sometimes they'll start O'Sullivan and O'Toole. Other times they'll start Jack McGrath and Marty Moore.
OK, and look, maybe that's where we get to with Ireland, where you're just in a rotation and your minutes are being managed to the point where it's not this massive drop-off from when Tadhg Furlong used to come off. And now, obviously, Andrew Porter has played enough minutes because of the year out that we've had Tadhg Furlong gone for. he's had the opportunity to it, and now they need to get somebody else up there so there's depth there properly.
It's a good system to have as well, and it was probably an area of concern for Ulster not long ago, but they have first and second choice at both tight and loose head prop is in good stock for them at the moment.
Okay, so let's talk about Craig Casey, who is our second talking point here in today's Type 5. The sky's the limit for Craig Casey, really.
Yeah, I think in 5-6 years he's going to be one of these bums on seats players for Munster. He's just so exciting to watch, and probably the best passer of a ball we've probably seen at scrum half almost since Peter Stringer. I know a lot of comparisons have been made between himself and Stringer down to, because they're diminutive figures and things like that, and they're kind of tenacious and snappy. But he's got an absolute zip on a pass as well. And I don't think it's any coincidence that his growth over the last 12 months or so has coincided with Conor Murray actually finding a little bit of form himself as well. So that Murray has someone beneath him in Munster who's probably pushing him on every single week. And he's probably seen this kid come along and, fans are really buying into him. For a long time at Munster, it was Conor Murray was the number one, and a lot of fans were particularly harsh on someone like Duncan Williams, whereas now the fans love Craig Casey, and I think you're getting the best out of Conor Murray as well because of that. Now, I know he's got in there ahead of the likes of John Cooney and Luke McGrath. A lot of people were suggesting Luke McGrath should have got in based on his performance against Munster. He did play very, very well. And then there's a huge amount of people saying John Cooney, he's overlooked again. And obviously his form picked up, I think, over the last couple of months. I don't think he would have deserved to be in the squad for the Six Nations or Autumn Internationals at the tail end of 2020. I don't think he was playing well enough. Now he has come back into form, but Casey was there in October and November as well for a few weeks working with Ireland. They were getting a good look at him in this kind of an apprentice role. And I think he's worth his place in the squad. He's a great change of pace option at some point for Ireland to have as well.
So is the height an issue? I'm doing some Googling here. Antoine Dupont is 3 inches taller than him. He's 5'4", Dupont's 5'7". Is that an issue in top class international rugby? Does it matter?
I don't think it is, because you can actually see it when Casey plays. Like, he will throw himself at the biggest players. It really doesn't matter. I remember I was commentating even on the Munster and Harlequins game a few months back, just before Christmas. And I just thought it was fantastic to see, like, Casey came on and he was standing directly beside Finian Witcherly, and I think it was Tadhg Byrne as well, two 6'4", 6'5" giants. And he's absolutely baiting the two of them out of it, like screaming at them, forcing them around the place. He really, really organises the team really well. And I can't remember who that French player was. I remember it was when Casey was playing in the under-20 Six Nations. I cannot remember the name of the French player now. It's escaped me. But he was this big number 8, biggest player on the pitch. And it was little Craig Casey who put him on his backside, dumped him onto his back. Like, size doesn't seem to be an issue for him.
He's 21. He'll be 22 in April. So it's not like he's a complete kid anymore. We're not talking about sticking a 19-year-old in here. Do you expect him to get game time if he's in this squad now? Will he get game time over the course of the Six Nations?
I'd say at some point he probably will. I think you're looking at Conor Murray and Gibson Park as the match day pairing for the most part. I think probably against Italy, if everyone is fit and, things aren't in a desperate state. I can see him playing some minutes at some point. I think if he picks up one cap over the next few weeks, it's a nice return for him.
Okay, Tadhg Furlong. We need to talk about Tadhg, because what's he going to be like after a year out? Alan Quinlan on Monday's show was get him straight in, like take him off the bench, obviously. Don't start him, but get him on the field as soon as you can.
Yeah, I think it's just nice to be able to talk about Tadhg Furlong in the context of we're fairly confident we're going to see him soon on a rugby pitch again. I think, to go back even on the inclusion of Tom O'Toole, I think Tom O'Toole's inclusion would give you a solid indication that they must be fairly confident about Tadhg Furlong being fit and available to play soon enough, because I think if there were question marks over Furlong's availability for these opening two games, they probably wouldn't have gone with an uncapped option as the next in line at tight head. They would want to have two experienced tight heads there if they didn't think Tadhg Furlong was going to be available again anytime soon. So it's just fantastic to see him play. Like 23rd of February was the last match he played. Now, I suppose when we look at it, we're saying a calendar year. It was probably only half of that was him out through injury because of lockdown. But I think it's just going to be good. I think Andrew Porter probably, he's done a brilliant job for both club and country over the last 6 months, but he probably just needs a little bit of a break as well. And, you know, I think it's going to be good for him to have Furlong in there to maybe take a little bit of the heat off him, because he's had to put in a lot of minutes. I know in the Autumn Internationals when he was playing for Ireland, he logged a lot of game time in those matches. There probably wasn't the trust bringing on a sub after Porter, whereas I think, you know, there's probably going to be more of a 60-40 or a 40-40 or a 50-30 balance between the minutes for Furlong and Porter.
Yeah, and I think we've seen the benefit of the game time, which I don't want to open up the can of worms again, but allowing everybody in the middle of a World Cup cycle to go off for a couple of years, make some money in France and England, and then come back might not be the worst thing for Irish rugby to consider in the next World Cup cycle. We've kind of missed the boat on it this time, but if you see the benefit of having Andrew Porter play as a 23, 24 year old, top quality rugby week in, week out, he's gone from being killed against Saracens to being able to hold his own in any match now. And that has happened because he's played. And look, you know, no one was ever going to let Tadhg Furlong leave for a year or two, but maybe we need to start reconsidering these things to give our, particularly our back rows, some game time as well. Let's talk about hooker. We thought we had anointed a new hooker as a natural successor at two in Ronan Kelleher to everybody who's gone before. And it was like, well, we'll settle in now for the Ronan Kelleher era and it's going to be here for 10 or 15 years. But unfortunately, his throwing hasn't been to the required standard. And Rob Herring is essentially first choice at the moment.
Yeah, I think he just about is. Now, I think with Ronan Kelleher, long term, he probably is going to be the number one. I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line. He seems to be of that age group and of that bracket. He probably seems to be the one sticking his head up most at the moment. I think with all three of them, there are throwing issues. They're like, none of those three players, Rob Herring, Ronan Kelleher, or Dave Heffernan, are the complete package as a rugby player. But I think Rob Herring is the most rounded of the three, particularly with even just small things like leadership ability. You know, he's been a regular captain of Ulster down the years, so that probably adds in an important side of things as well. Kelleher is a good scrummager is probably the other thing that goes in his favour. So, you know, that was something that Rory Best would have been excelling in, and it was probably went in, it contributed in a large way to the fact that Ireland had a brilliant scrum over those last 10 years that Rory Best was involved with the squad. But there's just an opportunity for anyone who wants to put their hands up at hooker, even outside that trio of Herring, Keller or Heffernan. Niall Scannell is, you know, on the outside looking in at the moment. And he, you know, 2-3 years ago, he probably would have been viewed as the long-term successor to Rory Best. There's still ample opportunity for him to work his way back in there. Even someone like Kevin O'Byrne at Munster, or Reese Marshall, who's Irish qualified now, or even up at Ulster, you've John Andrew. There's Sean Cronin could get back in at some stage over the next year or so, because he has that athletic ability that doesn't seem to have left him. So there is an opportunity for anyone, even outside that trio of hookers over the next couple of years, to put their hands up and get back into that number two shirt.
All right, a reminder, OTBAM live in association with Gillette. Good morning, start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. And the fundamental question that we need to answer is, where does Tadhg Byrne get in this team? Because he's playing too well to leave out.
He is. It was something Matt Williams and Brendan Fanning discussed on the show on Sunday. At international level, does he seem maybe a little bit small for second row? It seems that Andy Farrell really wants to have a big, bulky, tight head second row. And Quinn Rue, I thought, did actually a decent job of that during the Autumn Nations Cup and tail end of the Six Nations. I think a good option is, I think you could play Tadhg Byrne as at second row against maybe some of the sides that, against Wales or Scotland, who aren't trying to dominate you physically. Like, you know, Wales are going to try beat you with rugby as opposed to physicality. So I think you can, you know, risk not having a big, bulky, tight-head second row in there and play Tadhg Byrne as a second row. I think maybe against England or France, you could probably play Tadhg Byrne as a six, where it means that you have a big physical, you know, a much larger back row forward. Like if you look through his caps, he's played 17 times for Ireland. 6 of those have been as a back row, so he's played, you know, it's a solid sample size. Yeah. Three of that 6 have been starts as well. So there's enough experience to work there as well.
You're dropping CJ Stander, though.
Am I dropping CJ Stander? Who am I dropping?
You're dropping the 6.
Maybe I could play CJ Stander at 8 and I could drop Caelan Doris. I can piss off the Leinster fans as opposed to the Munster fans.
Well, go for it. So who are you dropping?
I don't know yet, to be totally honest. I'm running through options here, Ger. I do think, though, like if you look at Munster, if Orgie Snyman had been fit this year, I think we could have been seeing Tadhg Byrne playing 6 a lot more with Snyman and John Klein in the second row for Munster, for example. So is the long-term view that, you know, down the line, that is Tadhg Byrne a back row? I think either way, you have to try find a way of getting him onto that pitch, though, because he is, since October, I would say he is the most informed player in Irish rugby.
Okay, well, let's play it out. It's Doris or Stander you have to drop to make room for Tadhg Byrne. And to go back to our Russian roulette theme, gun against your head, what are you doing?
I'll just about drop Stander.
Right.
Or just about.
Or does this just automatically mean that Byrne is a sub because he's so versatile?
Possibly. I think worst case scenario with Byrne, he's going to be involved in a match day squad because he can cover you in so many areas.
Yeah, and I think it's probably horrible for him to hear, but if you're a coach, you're looking at that like, come on down. I don't need to have a 6-2 split because you're 2. You're essentially 1.5 for me here on the bench. All right, I asked Quinny the question. Are you optimistic about the Six Nations?
A bit.
That's
like,
not...
You know, it's kind of like... I think we're probably looking at 3 wins, 2 defeats, which is a kind of a, you know, it's not the worst, but it could be a lot better. I think it's a...
Who's going to beat us?
I think we'll lose against England at home. And I actually think we might beat France at home and could slip up in Murrayfield or Cardiff.
Big first game. Good stuff, Neil. Thanks very much.
No worries.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.